Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news podcast. So today we're going to start with NVIDIA. And apparently the main reason that caused NVIDIA to take so long to have decent support for Wayland has now been erased. When Wayland started being worked on by most desktops, or at least when they really started to focus their work on it, NVIDIA decided that they wouldn't implement the generic buffer management system, or GBM, that everyone had agreed upon, every other driver worked to support, and every desktop and compositor decided to use as their base. Because NVIDIA argued that their solution, called EGL Streams, was also an open standard, it had better performance, it was more portable, and it already existed as is because they already used it for other things, apparently. Now, of course, most desktop environments just did not want to work on double backends, the GBM one that Mesa had decided upon, and the EGL streams that would only work for the NVIDIA proprietary drivers. And this resulted in some desktops' Wayland sessions not even working at all on NVIDIA for a while, notably KDE, as Kwin just flat out refused to duplicate their efforts to support EGL streams when they already had a GBM backend. Well, now times have changed. NVIDIA decided to support GBM in their drivers, like everyone else. And so the EGL Streams backend is now being removed from the X Wayland code. This backend is not used by virtually anyone, and it isn't tested either, and it also frees up 1.5 thousand lines of code, which is good. Now, if NVIDIA had supported GBM right off the bat, chances are there wouldn't be as many issues on Wayland with NVIDIA today, because a lot of compositors would just have to write one backend, and NVIDIA could just fix in their drivers the various problems that might happen by trying to support this specific backend. They would have had a lot more time to polish things up, and a lot of desktops would also have had a way better time of actually testing their results with NVIDIA GPUs. Fortunately, NVIDIA decided to change their minds at some point and did support GBM, and we are also seeing open source drivers coming that will likely make that proprietary driver irrelevant for a lot of NVIDIA users in the future. I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be perfectly served by NVK and Nuvo in the future for recent NVIDIA GPUs, and only the people who need CUDA and stuff like that will turn to the proprietary driver. So it will not matter as much the next time something similar happens and NVIDIA wants to push their own solution, because we will at least have a fallback that works for most people. Now, in a bizarre twist of events or announcements, Mozilla announced yet another project called Did This. It's a sort of personal blog where you can publish updates of how a project of yours is moving forward. Whether it's crafting an object, painting something, coding, whatever, you can just talk about the project you're currently learning or working on. You can post text and photos, links, notes, and it's both considered to be useful for a record of what you've learned, for something personal that only you can access, or you can also share it with other people to let them know how well you're advancing on what you're making. So Mozilla says it's not a social network, at least not yet. Everything is private by default. No one will see anything you post unless you decide to share it with other people. And so you decide if and when you want to share that through any other means. Mozilla also said that they don't want to move something that emphasizes virality. They want to add social features, community features, but they always want to focus on what they call healthy interaction. So I guess no algorithms, no pushing things that have the most views or the most likes or whatever else. And this is available as an app for iOS right now, and there's apparently a waitlist for Android or for using the web app. And okay, sure, why not? I could see myself sharing progress updates on what I'm painting for my Warhammer 40k armies, for example. But I do have questions. First, why is Mozilla doing this now? They've cut a bunch of projects recently, including access to the useful Mozilla location services, or they reduced staff on projects that actually did make them a little bit of money, like the VPN or Firefox Relay and stuff like that. They're not canned, those products, but they've reduced investments in them. And now they're launching a first draft for a potential social network. I just don't quite understand where they're going with this and how this fits in the strategy. I would have guessed this kind of project would have been the first thing being cut from the current efforts of Mozilla under the new CEO. But sure, if it works, it works. Why not? And finally, it looks like the days of Hackintosh might be coming to a close. As Apple phased out their Intel-based Macs to replace them with Apple Silicon devices, everyone basically knew that Hackintosh was a dying project. There would be no way at some point to run recent versions of macOS on non-Apple Silicon hardware. But Apple is apparently accelerating this transition. In the latest update to macOS Sonoma, they killed off some Wi-Fi drivers that were baked into the OS, because macOS does come with all their kects, or kernel extensions, which are their drivers, baked into the OS. And so it's going to be even harder to run that operating system on non-Apple hardware, at least if you're not using a VM. This specifically concerns Broadcom Wi-Fi cards, found in a lot of Mac models from 2012, 2013, 2014, All of these extensions are now gone, and they were apparently pretty important to get fully working builds. Some drivers also moved from the .kext format to the .dext format, which apparently causes problems for existing workarounds for those missing drivers. And so not having Wi-Fi on macOS means that AirDrop cannot work, Continuity cannot work, and sometimes even FaceTime cannot work, even if you have a wired connection. So, yeah, Hackintosh still has a few years at best, and then at some point, no application will run on the older macOS version that Hackintoshes will be stuck on, and you won't really be able to upgrade anymore. It just will not be a usable thing. I did dabble in Hackintoshes a long time ago, around 2008-2009, and I did manage to get a fully functioning laptop running macOS. I think it was Leopard at the time, or Snow Leopard, complete with Wi-Fi and everything else that old laptop had. Everything worked perfectly. The battery life was absolutely horrendous, but everything else worked well, including hardware acceleration with the integrated Intel GPU. And at that time, it was pretty important because the Macs Apple offered were pretty much trash compared to a PC of the same price. Yes, the build quality was much better, but the hardware was so insanely underpowered for the price that it made sense. Now, nowadays, I would argue that Macs are still super expensive, especially if you want to add more RAM and more storage, but they're not as overpriced as they once were because they have really solid performance and really insane battery life. I don't see Hackintoshes being as necessary as during the Intel years, where Apple basically made nothing that was remotely good enough compared to a basic x86 PC. Now, for fun, Hackintosh will probably still be doable. You will not get the latest version, or you might want to just try and run it for fun, but for a daily usable system, I think this is a dead thing. Everyone knew it, but Apple is kind of speeding up the process here. Okay, so this is going to be all for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!